So the baptism of our Lord Jesus is what we celebrate today. Today is the conclusion of this time of Christmas. It's very interesting. The baptism is linked to the Epiphany. Last Sunday we talked about the Epiphany, this beautiful celebration of the kings coming to be with Jesus. Baptism of Jesus is also a moment of Epiphany, meaning that it's a moment where God is revealing himself through his plan of salvation, choosing to, in a powerful way, reveal that he comes to save us. What makes Jesus' baptism so unique is that Jesus being baptized is a way of God the Father showing, I send my only begotten Son into the world that he might be fully one with you in your humanity. In the Nativity, the birth of Jesus, Christ becomes man. In the Epiphany, we see he's the new king of the world. In the baptism, we see that he comes to sanctify through the first sacrament of baptism our life in the midst of our sin. We know that because it's very interesting. Why does Jesus come to be baptized? We hear this kind of question from John the Baptist's words. His question today to Jesus, why have you come seeking baptism from me when it is I who need baptism from you? Why is it Jesus comes to be baptized today? It's very interesting. First, we have to understand there's actually a difference between Jesus' baptism and our own baptism. What happens at our baptism? Well, if you think of maybe your nieces, nephews, your kids, when you had them baptized, what happened? You came to the church, you went through the rite of baptism. If you had it here at St. Helens, we have our font here. The child comes forward. The promises of our baptism are made on behalf of that child from the parents and godparents, and that child is baptized through water, which is the sign of God claiming that child as his own. God saying, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter. And they're mine because they're grafted onto Jesus, who is the true beloved Son. That's the words of the Father today. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. See, Jesus is the Son of God who possesses the power of eternity in who he is as the Son of God. And then we, when we receive our baptism, we receive our sonship or daughtership, becoming beloved sons or daughters through adoption, by being grafted on to the one man who was without sin. And so has the power to redeem us from the brokenness of our life. That's why baptism is the beginning of our freedom from the life of sin. We all possess original sin, concupiscence, big word, meaning we tend towards pleasure and the things of this world, all the things that don't fulfill our heart, the things that pull us away from God, who's the source of our life, who speaks words of truth over us. At our baptism, we begin that relationship and we are cleansed from our sin that we might begin this relationship of love with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, as, once again, the chosen beloved. Not because we earn it, but because God chooses us. It's a pure gift. What does this reveal to us today about our baptism versus Jesus? Okay, we're baptized because we need cleansing from our sin. The water purifies and sanctifies our soul. What then is happening when Jesus is baptized? It's interesting, when we're baptized, the water purifies us. But when Christ was baptized, his humanity, pure without the stain of sin, purifies the water. It's the reverse. Very powerful. His pure humanity, united to the Godhead of who he is as the Son of God, comes and purifies the matter of the water, making it the font of life and having the capacity to transform our life, to purify us. If you've ever been to the Easter Vigil, we see this symbol when the priest takes the Easter candle, which represents Christ, and plunges it three times into the font, showing that Christ, the candle, is making the font pure and holy. If that's what we're commemorating today, why is it there's so much power that is happening in this sacrament where Christ is literally infusing into humanity the power of God Why is it so many of our life, so many of us in our life don't seem to live any differently than people who aren't baptized? It's interesting. There's so many people, Christians, who are baptized, but if we look at their life, a lot of time they don't look any different from many others who aren't. Possibly very bad men and women out there who are baptized who don't seem to be living in the power that's supposed to come from this first sacrament. Why do you think that is? I think it's a big question. Or you could even ask that about all the sacraments. How can someone who receives the Eucharist every Sunday go out and do such horrible things? How do we, you know, as beloved sons and daughters of God, us who are coming to church, how do we go back into our lives and do the horrible things that we tend to do? Those places of shame and sin that we hold oftentimes in the secret of our heart. Why is it our life isn't transformed? It's a very important question to ask ourselves today, because that's the whole point of this feast, is why is it that God's grace is not fully alive in my life, hasn't fully claimed me? Why hasn't the baptismal waters transformed my life? Because that's what it's supposed to do. I want to share with you a small little quote from Father Cantalamessa. Father Cantalamessa is the retreat master for the popes. So he's got one of the most easiest jobs in the world, preaching to the popes, right? I'd hate to have that job. He's preached to the last three popes who have been there in Rome. And he talks about this reality of how the sacraments don't come alive in our life, how they become almost like empty fonts of grace. So the grace is there, but we don't use them. He says, Catholic theology can help us understand how a sacrament can be valid and legal, but unreleased. I love that word, unreleased. If we want to maybe take the image of baptism, we're talking about water, which represents God's graces. You know, think about a huge lake of God's graces he wants to pour in our life. That's what he wants to do through the sacrament of baptism. He wants to give us his only begotten Son, who's going to give of his life for our redemption. He's waiting to pour out all these graces in our life. This huge lake of blessings. But so often in our life, there's obstacles to that grace being released over our life and our heart. So often the lake of God's baptismal promises that we've said yes to, or our parents said yes to, are dammed up, like a, you know, lake that we have here. And there's only this little bit of grace that we allow to come through. Through our own sin, through the concupiscence and the brokenness of this world, our own wounds and failures, places where we're afraid of God's power, his Holy Spirit coming alive in our life and releasing that floodgate of grace over the valley of the broken, dry nature of our hearts. So the grace of sacraments being unreleased, Father Cantalamessa goes on to say that if its fruits remained bound and unused, so the graces of baptism, if they remain bound and unused, sacraments are not magic rites that act mechanically without people's knowledge or collaboration. The fruit of the sacrament depends wholly on divine grace. However, this divine grace does not act without the yes, the consent, and affirmation of the person. So right there is our answer. Why God's baptismal grace isn't released in our life? Because in some capacity, our heart has not said yes continuously to those graces that God's desiring to release over our life, over our vocation, over our family, over our church here at St. Helens, over this community of Georgetown, over the world. There's places where God's invitation of power, a relationship of love where he says, know who you are as my beloved, we've rejected it and pushed it out of our life in some way, shape, or form. Now, I want to tell a story to kind of encapsulate this grace. You know, it's easy to talk about this high theology, but what does this actually maybe look like, or kind of how do we concretize it? I want to tell you a story about my recent vacation. I just got back from vacation, and a part of my vacation, I spent 5 days with my family down in Port Aransas. It was a great vacation. We were on the beach, and my dad had this great idea, one of the days, to go deep sea fishing. And I'm not a huge fisherman, so I wasn't really super excited to go, but I said, okay, I'll go. You know, most of the family wants to go. So, you know, you're going to go deep sea fishing, so what do you do? I took the Dramamine the night before, took the Dramamine the morning of, got on the boat, and proceeded to do, all you fishermen out there know, the what, two and a half hour trip out to the fishing in the deep Gulf. And it was about 5 minutes in, and you know what happened. I felt it right away. I was talking to my dad. I was like, oh, just don't talk to me. Yeah, it was bad seasickness. And it was, I don't know how to best describe it except to say it was cruel and unusual punishment. You know, two hours just up and down. And you can't go anywhere. You can't escape, you know. Started to turn green, you know. Had to release some internal energy, you know, into the waves. So anyway, I was just feeling so horrible, and five out of six of my family members also were doing horrible. So I don't know if we got bad pills or what, but it didn't work. So we ended up getting out to the fishing spot, and it actually was an incredible trip looking back on it. We all, like, it was one of those days where you just throw your line in and you immediately hit every time. So we all got our limit, 10 fish. We had someone on the boat catch like a 45-pound shark. Incredible. And looking back on it, incredible just to an experience with the family. Like, just being together, it's the one time a year we're together, and kind of everyone working together, and kind of deckhands helping out, and it was a good experience looking back on it. And I say that because it's very interesting. The next day after the fishing trip, I woke up at the house where we were vacationing, and I was drinking my coffee in the morning. My dad pulled me aside and said, hey, Joe, let's talk for a second. You know, did you enjoy the fishing trip yesterday? You laugh, but he's like, hey, did you enjoy it? You know, I really didn't think that you enjoyed it at all. You know, do you appreciate that I took us out, and, you know, I never heard a thank you from you. You know, you never really were engaged with us on the trip, you know? Yeah, and we laughed, but it was really a heart-to-heart moment, you know, father to son, you know, where he was really calling me on. And I looked back, you know, in our conversation, I was like, yeah, I was really checked out. And I had chosen, I remember it during those first 2-3 hours of seasickness, that I had chosen that it was going to be a bad trip. I remember saying it to myself, like, this is just going to be a horrible trip. And I had a little bit of fun with the fishing, but because of that seasickness at the start, I let that taint this whole day with my family, a day that is maybe 5 days out of the year where we're all together. I missed out on an experience of sharing, and yeah, a difficult experience. It wasn't just me who was sick. 5 people in my family were sick. But once again, my dad even challenged me, said, look at your siblings. They responded, you know, they were sick too, but they chose to engage and enjoy the experience. I felt like you didn't do that. So it was a good experience for me as a son being called on, you know, even though I'm a priest, I'm not perfect. And I share this long story with you because I think it's a beautiful representation of how our spiritual life, our baptismal identity, and the graces that want to be released in our life so often don't. So we live in a world because of our humanity of suffering, just like my seasickness on that fishing trip, you know. And we have two choices. We can choose to invite God into that suffering and choose to live in Him, letting His graces bring meaning and power and joy and hope and love into that experience of our humanity. That's the whole purpose of Christ coming to be one with us, is to say that there's hope and joy in this life, and you can live eternal life now with my Son, you know? Just like all my other siblings did. Even though they were sick, they chose to have a good time. They chose to enjoy the experience despite the suffering. In fact, they actually chose to, like, make the suffering part of the camaraderie. I chose not to. Looking back on it, I chose to let the seasickness define that experience. We want to look at our spiritual life, the journey of our life, so often. That's why the spiritual graces of baptism aren't released in our life, is because we've chosen to let the different sicknesses that we all experience, physical suffering, the wounds we experience from a broken world, the places where we hurt each other and have to love each other in forgiveness and grow, the places where we doubt and fear and we have to either turn to the world or to Jesus for an answer and ask for the grace to believe. These are all places of sickness that each and every one of us struggle with in our life. The question is, do we allow that sickness to define us to the point where we look to ourselves and then we lose the grace of God's experience in our life, how he redeems us, and the fruits of that life when we choose to be with him? I missed out on the fruits of that fishing trip, of really enjoying time with my family, sharing that experience. So often, that's the baptismal grace in our life. It's not released because we're locked into the sicknesses of our hearts, the seasickness that keeps us from allowing God to transform our life, to let him speak to our hearts, saying, "You're my beloved son, you're my beloved daughter." So question for you today is, where are maybe some areas of some spiritual seasickness in your life that you need to look at today and say, "God, how do I entrust this to you so I renew this journey of faith that I'm on, focusing on you, Jesus, who brings these graces in my life to bring healing in the midst of that sickness, to bring meaning and purpose and joy?" Maybe it's, legitimate suffering in your life, physical, mental. You know, you're really struggling and maybe getting up there in years, and the reality of the fragility of your life is coming close to you, and it's like, "Wow, Lord, what is really the purpose of my life? Are you with me? Can I believe in this thing, eternal life?" Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a sense of deep sin in your life. Once again, deep habits of addiction that have pulled your heart away from God. You feel separated in shame or pain or brokenness and feel like they're not worthy of God's love. Maybe it's just the simple routine of life, just the waves going up and down. We get so caught up in all these different things that we're caught up in our life. We're so busy and caught up in things that we can't allow God's grace to transform our life through prayer and silence and intentionality, inviting Jesus into the routine of our life. So every moment becomes a moment of grace and transformation where I have the opportunity to love others, to accept God in my heart, to see him at work in my life. Those are the places of sickness that we need to give to the Lord today and allow him to heal us. So as we come before the Lord our God today to receive him in his body and blood in the Eucharist, we ask that he would renew us in the spirit of our baptismal identity as beloved sons and daughters of God, to give him the sickness of our life and to be renewed in the sense of his washing, his purifying spirit that comes to us through his own baptism that we celebrate today. We ask this for ourselves, for our church, and for the world. Amen.